Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Has now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Los Angeles. 102.3 FM Riverside.
And 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren, Mr. Dave Baseball's Karate Martino. Back in the house.
Now it's baseball and karate.
Yeah, well, I mean, people got to know,
you know. Yeah.
They've got to know. Hey, they opened up a new martial arts training shop at the bottom of the hill here.
They did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Second floor. And it's right beside the, there's that dog place, you know, that they babysit your dog while you work.
Oh.
So I was thinking maybe you could get on there, or maybe you...
like babysit dogs?
Yeah, and then you could do karate and...
Yeah.
And all that, you know.
Yeah.
And so did you? I didn't check. Now I've got the movie review. It came in, and I know it's up on the air.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like three times people get it a week. So now, did you like that all thing, everything, everywhere, or the one that won all the awards? did you tell people to watch it or not? Or is that, I want to know.
You know, it's not that I didn't hate it.
Stepping. Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I still gave it 3 stars, but I didn't really like it. I mean, the performances were good. The story, not so much.
Wow.
And it was kind of crazy, but yeah. I didn't want to totally trash it. I was feeling nice. I was feeling generous.
People with hot dog fingers.
Yeah, no.
I mean, this was an acid trip for 2.5 hours.
It was. It was. I had a hard time getting through it.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth. Yeah.
Yeah, it just shouldn't win all those Oscars. That's all.
Yeah. Is it Oscar worthy? I don't know. See, that's how I couch it. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, so you did a review for people and you told them, I don't know.
I don't know. I do not know.
I'm glad they tune in for your reviews.
Yeah, but I had somebody contact me and say that I was the mascot for old Hollywood.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I'm starting to get hate mail now, Al.
The mascot.
Does that mascot like, for old Hollywood, and they said that I'm just, whoever this was, I think it was, he said that he was just grateful that I'm going to age out, which means he wants me to die.
Oh boy! See, you're moving up there. You're getting
there. It's perfect.
Yeah, you're getting there with me.
See what type of stuff you get me into, Al.
I know. I'm an influencer, a negative influencer.
A negative influencer.
You know, people watch me. Only Tucker Carlson. nobody hates me like Tucker does. So come on.
No.
Well, here we go. Now today we've got our own action star.
Yes.
So, okay. So she's a recording artist. She's got a book out. I know the book is called Courage, Find Your Fire and Ignite Action into Your Life. She must have been writing about you.
Yeah, of course.
So we've got Glenda Benavides.
That's it.
There you go. Well, Glenn, so what's going on, Glenda? Who are you writing about? You're writing about Dave and...
Alan, you're so funny. Yeah, I'm writing about Dave. I don't even know him, but I'm writing about it.
Well, he's inspirational. People send hate mail.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
You know,
I guess that's the
tons.
Bar these days, Alan.
Yeah, but I used to get now he's gonna outpace me. That's what I mean. It's hard working with the star.
Alan, why Tucker Carlson?
Because he said really bad things about me on air.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Last April, it's still wounded me. I can hardly wake up at days. I can't sleep at night. Tucker said he would never listen to the show.
Oh.
Yeah. Tucker, Tucker, what is wrong with you? What's wrong? Don't you want, you wear a bow tie. Come on.
Closet, darling, closet.
Yeah. And he doesn't, so he would never listen. Then why is he talking about me? Leave me alone. I'm just a little guy in the LA market, and you're a big star with a bow tie all across America. Millions of listeners, viewers, all that stuff. Everybody cares about Tucker. And, you know, it's wounded me. I thought maybe we'd be able to date or something, but I guess not.
I guess not.
You know? Take that, Tucker. Yeah. I'm moving on. I'm over it. It's been a year. I've waited. Anyway, so, we're being very negative, and we're supposed to be talking about courage.
See, yes. Alan, you're bringing us down.
I'm bringing us down. I'm getting down.
Bring us down.
Yeah.
To a, no, a high, a whole high of low.
Well, so you're one of the positive.
I am.
There.
I am.
That's good.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, we really need to find those gems in life, you know, because, you know, we are on a hard planet here. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to write about, you know, Claire. How do you get to courage? That was the question, really. And at the time that I was discovering this, I never considered myself an author, but a musician and a songwriter. But I thought, okay, well, what does it take to have courage? And I really sat back and I thought, okay, well, how does it work for me? And I thought, okay, you got to have clarity first. If you don't have clarity, you don't know where you're going. You're running around wasting time and energy, right? So once you have clarity, you can step into courage because you'll have something to go for. And inside of the courage, after a while, you keep practicing, then you get confidence. And then after you have confidence, you're really stepping into your commitment. And then once you have that, then you can give it to community. And that's just kind of where I was thinking when I decided to write my book.
Until you get the hate mail.
Yeah. Not yet. I haven't had that yet.
Oh, you will now.
Okay, great.
Tucker will be promoting you next.
Oh, perfect. At least to get more eyes on the book.
Well, there you go. That's what it's all about. No, but how do you, okay, so I always ask that question. Actually, courage is a question I ask of almost every author, and we have filmmakers, whoever's on the show and they're doing something, I always say, well, how did you, what gave you that courage? It's usually one incident or it's usually something that happens that makes the person actually decide that they're going to let everyone see their work. They're going to promote it. They're going to sell it to a publisher or they're going to get out there. And that, so what is it that gives you that courage? And for you, what happened to you to make you kind of go, no, I want to do this?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, I can answer that on two different levels. One is you really have to be clear and passionate about something, you know, whatever it is. And then you got to practice it. And once you've done that, you really find your courage. For me, with the whole book, I was actually helping a few of my women friends. And I was kind of like their confidant, their coach kind of thing, not officially, just, you know, how it is with friends. And someone came up to me. A girlfriend of mine came up to me and we were standing in the kitchen talking. And she looks at me and she goes, "You're a badass." And I looked at her and she goes, "You're a badass goddess." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And the first thing that came was like, no, I'm not, you know, like you just want to deny any kind of like wonderful, empowering statement or something, right? And I thought to myself, no, you got to own that. Just own it, Glenda. Own that someone is acknowledging you and that she sees your confidence, your courage, and your empowerment. And so I kind of took it on to myself to like redefine what the word badass means. So I took I made it into an acronym and I called it beautiful, accessible, daring, abundant, savvy, sassy, or sexy, whatever. But I just kind of defined that for myself. And then inside of being a badass, I thought, well, you know, do I have something of value? Do I want to share something? What would I share? You know, and I kind of just narrowed it down. I thought, well, courage, you know, what does it take to have courage? And that's kind of how I started doing it. And I just, I kind of made up a game for myself. I said, okay, you're not an author official. You know, like, there are people that write books, like, officially, like you, Alan, and David. You know, like, you guys write books. It's like, okay, I thought, okay, let's see if I can do this. And so I just thought, okay, I guess you make an outline. I'll do 10 chapters or whatever. And then I kind of just said, I'm going to do a chapter a day. And I did it. It was just kind of my own game that I was playing with myself. And then after 15 days, I had written the book. And then, of course, 6 months later, I went back to, like, re-edit and all that kind of stuff. And it just kind of evolved from there. But, yeah, I just wanted to share, like, this is what I did to have this. This is what I did, you know. And then here's some things to think about. So it's kind of like a workbook. So people can actually ask themselves those questions, write them down, and then get into action. So
yeah,
that was it.
Well, what did you want people to get out of it then? Just that? Just like to look at themselves and kind of go, well, you know, I can do this or whatever it is they want to do.
Yeah, just be inspired by the stories and to see how an artist, a musician, can overcome certain aspects of their life. There were just different journeys at just different points that really spotlighted either courage or confidence or my commitment to something, you know, because we all have that, right, in our lives, whatever they are. So, you know, it could be, you know, a new business or something. Do I have clarity around my new business? Do I have a business plan? You know, what's that, you know, and then having the courage to talk about it. And then after a while, you really can gain confidence once you practice it enough. So that was kind of just want to leave people with my story and give them little tidbits on how they could, you know, try something on and see if it works.
How do you deal with the new world, like as in social media and all aspects of that? Because now you're doing everything in front of everyone. Like before, you know, you would try to get out there and get on tour or do whatever it was to have people become aware of you. You know what I mean? Like it was different. Now there's a lot of this social media stuff. And so things can happen. People can contact you much easier. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how do you deal with any negativity you get?
You know, you just kind of have to look at it and just really understand it's really about themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's about their fears. It's about their, you know, whatever they've got going on. Could be jealousy, could be anything. Just, you know, just unhappy, you know, they're hateful. And that's, you know, it's one thing to really, you know, if anything, I have compassion for that. I just like, oh gosh, you're just, you know, you're really killing yourself here. You know, it's like, wow, you just, you don't, you're so, you don't, what's the word I was looking for?
They're having
you just don't have enough to do in life that you're online, you know, dogging people.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's a waste of time. So, you know, take what you want and move on. I think that for anybody. And I think I have compassion and feel sorry for people that are haters, you know, or just, you know,
yeah.
It's a lower vibration that I want to get involved in, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's easy to get wrapped up in, right? People can get really jump on and start talking about stuff
Yeah.
It's probably better.
Yeah. I don't need to be right about anything. You know, I'm just like, yeah, I'm just sharing. So if it works, great. If it doesn't, great.
Well, speaking of fear, do you feel fear before releasing something into the world? Like whether it's a book or a song and how do you overcome that?
You know, I don't. I don't. I actually feel excited. I feel excited about sharing things. And if anything, if I feel fear, it's actually live performance. Uh-huh. You know, just before you go on, you know, you're just like, okay, because that's, you know, people can hide behind the, you know, platforms and social media and stuff like that and be hateful and stuff like that. But you have to be really bold to be hateful in person. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, ooh. So that can get a little scary. And part of it, too, is having my own confidence and commitment before I step out on the stage, because you really have to have those things. You have to be, okay, this is like before I go on stage, there I have a whole routine that I do. And part of it is, okay, what's my intention? I'm here to serve. I'm here to sing. I'm here to raise the vibration. I'm here to give to people with my art piece. So what am I doing when I step out? So that can get a little nerve-wracking, a little fearful, you know, because you just, it's live, you know, it's like, this is live. You don't know what you're going to do. You know, you don't know what you're going to say. You don't know how people are going to react. If I may, I'll tell you a story. I was in Germany. I was in East Berlin. And this is pertinent to this conversation. And I was getting ready to go on stage. Place was packed. And I get on stage. And a German audience is quite different than an American or any other people, right? Because you're in a different culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm up there, and I started to sing. And then I got distracted. And I looked over. And I started to step outside myself, and I looked over these two gals sitting off to my left, and they were just staring at me. And no expression. They looked angry. They were just staring. And I went down the dark path of like, oh my God, they hate me. You know, and then I started losing my confidence. It was really amazing to have that experience, because I was like, oh no, you know, and then I said, stop, get back in your body. Get into the song. What are you here for? Stop getting over there making up stuff about other people just because they're looking at you.
Yeah.
And stop judging it, right? So I got done with the song, got done with my set. I went upstairs. I got outside because it was so hot. So I'm sitting outside of this table, and these two girls follow me up, and they come out, and I'm sitting there going, oh my God, they're gonna yell at me. Like, I was like, they're gonna hate on me in a second. And I'm getting nervous, right? And I'm sitting there, and they walk up very stoic and very straight face. She looks at me and she says, can I have your autograph? Talk about being wrong.
Oh, geez. Well, a good thing you didn't jump off the stage and start beating on them.
Oh, no. Not my style. Not my style.
Take your guitar and smack the one over the table. And yeah, just think, well, you'd certainly make the news.
Right. And walk up going, what's wrong with you? You got a problem?
Do a
Will Smith now.
Yeah. Smack. Well, that would be kind of fun, actually. Well.
Remind me not to bring you on the road with me, Alan.
No, I know. I'm an animal. No, I'm quiet, shy little guy. I wouldn't do anything. I'd hide. Hide under the table. Those girls or German girls would beat me up. So what is it that you do when you're writing music? How does it come to you? Like, we hear all sorts of people say different things. Like, you know, how does it fall into your head?
Different phases and different parts of my life. Sometimes I have themes. Sometimes something in the culture upsets me, and then I want to talk about it. So it's a variety of ways that I pick my lyrics, or how I want to write them. And then I have a partner that I work with. His name is Gene Williams. He has a mastering engineer. And so he and I have coupled up, and we co-write everything together. And so sometimes how that looks is that he'll write a track, and then he'll send it to me and say, are you vibing this? And then I'll look through my lyrics and go, oh yeah, that's I Burn. I'm going to write that, you know, or I'm going to write my next song, Unbreakable, you know, or whatever. And sometimes there's no music at all, and I just channel whatever comes through, and you know, and then I get a theme from it, and I kind of go down that path. So it's random, actually. It's a variety of ways.
Well, where does the influence, you think, come from? Just from your reaction or feeling of what's going on around you at the time?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes it's, you know, cultural. Sometimes it's just things that I want to talk about. You know, like maybe I want to, like, for example, Unbreakable, it's not out yet, but, you know, I really wanted to write from a perspective of, you know, hey, we're unbreakable. Don't play that game with yourself. You know, don't hate on yourself. Don't, don't think you're poor you. You can't do it. You know, you're just so weak and so, oh, I'm so sensitive and, oh, my goodness, you know, can't live with life. You know, it's like, no, you're unbreakable. So, like, things like that. So I'll pick that. To me, that's a theme. So I'll just pick that and then I'll just go for it.
Well, I don't know. At 60, I feel pretty breakable.
You got to get you some calcium and get you in a gym.
I'm falling and I can't get up.
When did you start writing lyrics? Was it when you were very young or did that come later?
I think my first song was that I scratched out. I think I was like 12. I was like... in love with this guy. So, so I had to write, I love you, a song, you know, as you do, when you're 12. I really, really started in, 91 when I got off the road. I came home to like really do my inner spiritual work, and start writing like really, you know, original music, really deep music. And so I was working with a woman in Portland, Oregon. That's where I grew up mainly. And, I worked for her for a while. It was wax on, wax off. I think you'll know that, David.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Boy, you got him pegged.
Wax on, wax off. And my wax on, wax off was cleaning her house every week. So, part of that, after about month three, she came to me and she said, okay, she goes, what do you really want to do? And I was just kind of taking a break from the music industry because I was so burnt out by traveling and touring. And I said, I really want to write music that moves and touches people's hearts. And she's like, okay, so this is what you're going to do. She's like, you're going to write me a song for a peace gathering. And that's in 3 weeks. And it's going to be televised in downtown Portland for New Year's Eve for our peace gathering. I'm like, go. And I was like, oh, my God.
No pressure.
So no pressure. So I ended up writing, went home, and I started on it. And I was meditating one day in my small little bedroom. And it just, the words came to me. And it was called Change. And this is 92, so I was... way ahead of my time. And then I went to a really good friend of mine, Michael Allen Harrison. He's a fabulous keyboardist and pianist in Portland. And I said, here's my lyrics. And he looked at them and he got on the piano and he goes, ding, 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 ding. And I was like, that's it. That's the melody. It was born. 2 weeks later, we did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. You know, I lived in Portland back then.
You did?
Yeah. I lived in the Lloyd Center area, and I used to work at the department store, Meyer and Frank there.
Yes.
In the makeup department.
Oh, my God.
I used to do makeup for the...
before Mac.
Well, yeah, it was before Mac. And I used to do Ralph makeup Lauren. For the TV news guys.
Like, oh, nice. W
or
oh, my God.
Yeah, Channel 8, yeah. I was doing their makeup.
We probably crossed paths.
Probably, you know. That was in my olden days. That was the long time. It was over 30 years ago.
Yes, and, it was.
And now your song, Walking, you do sound a lot like you get described as Janis Joplin and stuff like that. You do have that sound. I will say, for sure.
Wow.
You know, you do have that, I don't know what you'd call it, but you have that sound. Is that kind of what you go for, it's just the way it is?
I think it's just the way it is. It's like, it just, you know, comes out that way.
Well, who influenced you, like, as a singer? Like, is there certain singers or people out there that you've always sort of thought, wow, that's great. Love them and stuff like that. So besides Dave, you know, he sings too. Besides karaoke. Yeah. Besides that, I got this Elvis video of him that you love, you know, in New Orleans. But besides Dave and listening to him sing Elvis songs, who else was there? There must have been.
Yeah. Well, besides Dave, I was actually Sarah Vaughan. Dakota Staton was one of my favorites. And Rochelle Farrell is like at the top of my list. Yes.
Wow.
She's an amazing R&B singer, songwriter, jazz influence, you know, just phenomenal human being. So she's got a 5-octave range.
Wow.
So I'm always reaching towards, you know, strengthening and developing my voice and style. So I think those are the ones that really influence me. Style wise.
Yeah. And is there a certain songwriter or somebody?
Probably like Rochelle and Quincy and Babyface. Like,
oh, yeah.
Amazing songwriters. Herbie Krishlow is another one. He works a lot with the Backstreet Boys in the past, and like I think he does his own stuff now, but himself, he's a singer too. But artists like that, writers like that are phenomenal. David Bowie, I mean, is another one. I think, you know, more he was like my first influence. So
yeah, I think I was 10 and I heard he was on some show and he did Fame. Like it was brand new. It was a new song. And it blew me away in a sense for some reason.
Yeah. 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 I think that was his phase actually, where he was like going, you know what? I'm going to just like make this really marketable. And I love that. Fame was great. Let's Dance, you know, amazing artist. I consider him an artist.
Well, vocally, are you self-trained or do you have a vocal coach? How did you develop your voice?
I do have a vocal coach. Yeah, yeah. I was a natural singer. And then when I really started doing a lot of shows and performing a lot, you know, if you don't sing properly, you will lose your voice.
Yes.
So I knew that right away of value. I mean, I was doing five sets a night, so it was a lot of work vocally, and you had to stay on top of it. So, I had several vocal coaches. One is a gentleman he's now living in Greece. His name is Nathaniel Evans, and he studied with Seth Riggs. And Seth is out of LA. Seth taught like Michael Jackson. He was like his personal coach forever. I've been fortunate to have like really good vocal coaches. And then Ken, I work with Ken Tamplin too.
Okay.
Just you got to. It's a muscle like anything. You gotta work it. And if you don't, if you let it sit for a while, you rest it too long, you know, it gets rusty and you can't really sing. Wow, there's no pitch there. Love that.
did you like the Seattle sound, the grunge thing that came out?
I did. It was never anything that I did, but I love all kinds of music, so.
Yeah. So tell us what the song Walking is all about. That's your newest single.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's a commentary and a story about an artist that sold their soul to the devil. That's pretty much it, basically. And I wanted to tell that story because I know that all of us out there at some point was cajoled or convinced to do, you know, oh, sign here, do this, give me this money, we'll do this for you. And you went, oh, okay, that sounds great. You know, all the promises in the world, the grifter comes along and, you know, and then next thing you know, you're just like, what was I thinking?
Right.
Why did I spend $1,000 on that, you know, or that type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Or now I owe them and I've gotten nothing from them, but I've actually signed a contract. And so, you know, we all kind of know that the industry is, our industry is around that type of mentality. And it's all around, you know.
Yeah, it's jaded.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about the money.
Yeah.
Right? And yep.
That, you're mean, a product. We want to use you, you know. Yeah.
It's just overcoming that or trying to get through that.
Yeah.
And still survive in the business. It's not that easy.
No, it's not. Walking my way down.
Lost my soul. Moving bright lights. And I signed my name, Lord. And I didn't feel so right. Nobody told me. I'm way down that dirty old road. And I'm walking my way down. I don't wanna go. I'm walking my way down to something I owe. And I'm walking my way down. And I don't wanna go. Nothing to show. Listen up, he said this. Now time to pay. Ooh. Always calling my name. There's no way out of this. This trouble you say.
I think it's a fantasy, and it's a myth that perpetuates itself inside our music industry that, you know, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to get signed by a record company. And I stop people and I say, why? You know, if you need a loan, go to your bank. You'll at least get 2%. Get yourself your own marketing team and go for it. you know, unless you get a really good deal and then you have to, like, you know, it's like you do a distribution deal or something. And even then you got to be careful, you know, you got to have yourself a really good attorney. And you just have to make sure that it's in your favor, you know, that type of thing. And most kids don't. And that's why they like kids, you know, they can work them, their longevity, they look good, you know, and they can, you know, they can sell them a bill of goods, you know. So that was part of selling your soul to the devil.
Yeah. Well, and it's easier now with, you can tell by the social media, everybody wants to be a star, right?
Sure.
And they want to have the, you know, the popularity. But then it really is an illusion.
It is. It is.
I mean.
Yeah. You have to do things for love and passion. And I'm telling you, right now I'm working with a young woman out of Denver from Grammy University. I'm also a Recording Academy voter. So
vote for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
If I get nominated, you vote for me.
Write him in.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, write my name down.
Write it in the box, right? Yeah. A write-in.
Yeah. This can't be an award unless you nominate. Come on.
Absolutely. Who's Alan? What? Alan Warren, who?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't heard of Alan Warren? Yeah, we could do like a whole thing on that. That would be hilarious. Yeah, so the gal that I'm working with right now, I'm a mentor for her. You know, and I think that's one of the things that you want to make sure that you ask the right questions. You know, the questions are why, you know, Apple asked that right away. Why? why do you want that? You know, and it really helps people think on a deeper level about why they're entering into the business. Because if you come up with stuff like, I want to be famous, I want someone to like me, I want to be loved, I want to be this, I want to be, you know, it's like, oh, really? Wow. That has nothing to do with art or music or the business. And the business is the business. So you're easier to be taken advantage of if you have that on your sleeve where it says, I'll do anything just so I'm famous. And there's no guarantees, you know? So I say do it yourself, and if you really, really love the business and you're really in it for the right space and the right heart, you play music, you write music, you do it, and, you know, you invest in yourself and you get other people to invest in you too. And you do it in a really safe way that you know, is uplifting and not denigrating. I mean, I have friends that are signed by record labels and they still owe them.
Yeah.
And their record's gone millions, you know?
Yeah, and that's, I think a lot of people don't realize that when you sign a contract, it's usually, you know, they say, well, I've got a $2 million contract with Sony. And it's like, well, that means you owe that $2 million. They're going to try
right.
It. They're trying to make that money from you.
That
so
is right.
It's up to you to make it. And
that's right.
And I don't think they realize that, you know, it takes you usually three good albums before you actually start making any money.
Correct. You are correct. 100%.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. I mean, and you know, you're under fire. You're under the gun. I mean, I know now, like I have a manager that's like, okay, we got to get another single out. And I'm like, oh my God, you know,
yeah.
Thank God I wrote that already, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a lot to develop inside a song. I mean, there's like a whole journey that you take. It's not, you don't just write it and then do it. Like, do you have a band? Are you going to do it yourself? Are you going to track it, you know, on yourself, you know, all these things. And then you've got to mix it and then you got to master it and then you got to get it up, you know? So there's a lot of moving parts, and I think people just don't understand the deep components that go along with that experience, and it doesn't guarantee you anything.
No, because then you got to get heard, and
yep.
You have people that, you know, and you got to get your hair and makeup.
Oh, trust me.
I mean, because, you know, they're all looking at you, and so it's you got to have, you know, I tell you, I got to get my wig done and everything, you know. I go on the road, and I've got to put my wig in and get in shape and get my heels, and oh, it's just so tough. You know?
It really is, actually.
Yeah.
And everything is like a club, too, like being in the Recording Academy, like, you know, once you get in, it's like, okay, now you're in the club. Now you got to figure out what's going on inside the club and you know, how things
politics.
Are done.
There's a lot of politics. Like
oh,
every
my goodness.
Business, you know, it's the same in the radio and everything. There's so much politics. Oh, God, yeah. People know people and talk about people, and it's the same thing going on. And it's just any other job you've done. Same thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you got to sleep with certain people and
Wow. Alan, I tell us.
I mean, but I do. You know, I sleep with all of them. It's whatever it takes. It's all good, you know.
Okay, I love it.
I've done well, you know, even, yeah, Christ. I've done well, and it's just, you know, and that's why Tucker doesn't like me. He's jealous.
Oh, he's just jealous.
Yeah. What do you think of that Brandi Carlile? She's pretty good, eh?
You know, I haven't really heard her, so.
Yeah, I heard her in Howard Stern. I'm always going through the radio shows and stuff, and I know that she, yeah, has a couple of good songs. I mean, it's just a surprise because she's from that area, you know, or I think maybe she's from Seattle.
Yeah, and there's a local girl. It's her, H-E-R. She's great. And there's amazing singers. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing singers that you'll never hear of, you know.
Do you think it's gotten worse? Because it seems to me, and I don't know if it's just because I'm getting old, but a lot of the music I hear on the radio, most of it I kind of don't care about, you know, mm-hmm. It doesn't hold me.
Sure, exactly. You know? It's saturated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's something about it. There's no meaning to it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's always going to be the pop stuff and stuff that's, ooh, I did it again. You know, I don't want to pick on Britney, but there's always the just silly stuff that you can sing along and that's fine or whatever. But there was always sort of meaning behind certain bands, it seems like, in every generation, the 60s, even the 70s and the 80s.
Absolutely.
Now, there was, like, you know, there's protest music and there's mm-hmm. always stuff. I don't really get that feel anymore.
Yeah, and you are correct.
Yeah.
You are correct. No, it's not happening. And it's really saturated. Did you know there are 60,000 tracks that are released every day? Every day. You know, and so now you're in a sea of massive people deciding that they think they want to do music, and then the ones that really are doing it, they just get buried. I mean, like, really doing it. Like, I mean, I really believe that. I mean, I think everyone's creative, don't get me wrong, but I think there are a few that are just, that's what they do, that's what they love, they're passionate about it, they're really good at it, and they really understand their industry and they understand what it takes to have that happen, to be a working artist, you know, someone that's really out there making a difference, not just a pop sensation that someone gets picked up and then used up and then kicked out the door later, you know, if they make it. Yeah, but I remember, you know, that, gosh, you could hear a song and you immediately knew what band it was, who the singer was. Like, you know, I'm speaking to what you were just talking about, Alan. Yeah. Like, yeah, I totally got it. It's like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, that's a Kiss, or that's, you know, Air Supply or whatever, you know. It's like, because everybody had their own sound.
Well, and plus it was, it seemed that there was meaning behind.
Yes.
Like, you knew what kind of, like you two would sing, you knew there was meaning, you know.
Yes.
It all had its thing, I guess.
Yes.
And now I just don't really, you know, I don't really get that from Harry Styles.
Right.
Harry Styles is actually, I think he's pretty talented, but
yeah,
out of the bunch.
Well, again, it's he's probably working with songwriters too. Like, maybe he's writing some of his stuff, but, you know,
he works with Stevie Nicks a lot.
Oh, he works with her. She writes for him.
She actually helps him with.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an interesting combo, actually.
Yeah. Interesting.
That might be why he's somewhat successful, is he's got connections.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I'm getting old, but I'm not feeling it in a lot of the, you know, if you're driving and you're listening to the hits radio of stuff now, it's just kind of, it all sounds like the pop stuff.
It's homogenized. That's what it is. It's like AI drives it, you know?
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Because even in the 90s, we had the Backstreet Boys and stuff like that, but it had its place, but you knew that what it was.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense, because there's also the serious stuff, or the, you know, the more meaning stuff, but it sort of filled its place too. But now it all seems to be like
that. Well, they're not telling stories, you know?
Yeah.
They're just doing, like, idioms, you know, or something, top line kind of stuff. Yeah, it's so important, and I think that's where I step forward in, is I really want to tell stories. I want to tell stories that touch the heart, you know, that people really can get and go, yeah, I've been there, you know, and now I see a way out, you know, or I'm uplifted, or, you know, I've got some pretty dark songs, but, you know.
Well, how do you survive in the music business nowadays? Because everyone can just download and move things around. Like, it's not like it was. So you kind of have to tour, I guess. And,
yeah.
And sell T-shirts, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you have to have merchandise. I mean, you can see it, like, if you go on my website, glendamusic.com, if you go on my site, you can totally see it. It's like, I've had to build out like that. You know, it's like, here's my song. Here's my, you know, here's my merchandise. Here's this, here's that, you know, and here's the videos, you know, yeah. And then you go to my YouTube channel and, you know, it's like, oh my goodness. It's like, yeah, you're your own store. Right. You know, yeah. I'm my own Fred Meyer.
it's the drive through.
It's the drive. Yeah.
See, this is another thing too. I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Why did all the videos go? Like, remember, I remember
right?
when the videos channel
MTV,
started, MTV
yeah.
and all this stuff. I thought that was it for life. We were going to have this my
Me
whole
too.
Lifetime. You know,
Me too. Me too.
And then all of a sudden, it's not. It's gone. Like, what's going on? Like, how did that happen?
You know, I said the same thing because I was like, what is going on? This is horrible. They went into reality TV
yeah,
or something.
Reality.
Yeah, yeah, that was nasty. Like.
Yeah. I mean, they went for the money. They Excuse were, me. You know, they weren't making enough money and they just, I understand they changed
yeah.
formats. But all the music things, I thought the video things were stuff that people like to watch.
I think they do. I have my own MTV and my own channel, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to go to my YouTube channel and then you can watch all my music videos, you know?
Yeah.
Then videos of other people. So.
But you see, I think that makes it harder. I mean, it's easier for you to put out your own stuff in a sense
mm-hmm.
because you have your own, you distribute it on the internet yourself. Like, you don't
yes.
have to sign with someone so that they put it everywhere and all that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's no streamlined or there's no people don't just go, you know what I mean? Like, you could go mm-hmm. to MTV and just see what's new now.
Right.
But
right.
there's not that anymore. Now you have to go all over the place.
Yeah. Agreed.
Right.
No, so, it'd be really cool if someone wanted to start that back up. Someone said, I think Apple was going to do that. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Yeah, I just thought that would always be a market. I'm surprised.
Right.
You know, I mean,
well, probably now it's right now it's too saturated. But yeah. I mean, I guess that, you know, the labels could supply their top artists. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, because it kind of went down just when Dave released
yeah.
his video singing all that. And they just like,
yeah.
no, that's it. We've had it.
Yeah,
no more videos.
No more videos.
No more
all my fault.
Shoes.
Dave, was that because of the content that you were doing, or
yeah, everything. Yeah.
because it had Alan in it. Is that right?
No. I couldn't be in a video like that. You know, they'd be like, "Who's the old guy in this?" You know, yeah.
Oh no, old is hot right now. Alan.
Organ grinder, huh?
No. Old is hot.
Oh,
yeah.
I haven't had anything hot in my life, I tell you. No.
You're just not hanging out in the right places.
No. I was just disappointed because I don't like.
Yeah.
You know, with all this stuff with the pandemic and like the last years with Trump and all this stuff going on,
yeah.
just crazy stuff going on, right? Mm. And there's no protest band. There's no band that
right.
or bands that would be singing about it. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? It just sort of, it has a different meaning, I think.
Yeah.
Pop music right now. A lot of people they're singing about things that don't really matter, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe.
I agree.
I don't know.
I think that's one of the reasons why I feel the same way, Alan. And I feel like that's why I'm writing those songs. You know, like I wrote a song on my Goddess album called Solution. S-O-U-L, Lucian, Solution,
yeah.
You know, things like that. So that's my version of, you know, protest song, you know?
Right, right.
We need a solution.
Yeah. It's kind of strange.
Yeah.
That musicians aren't really going
Doing
after
that?
It. Yeah, they're
yeah.
not going after it. It seemed to be they were the ones you'd always have.
That's right.
Whether it was through heavy metal or rock.
Right,
or
yeah.
pop or whatever it was, mm-hmm. but there was always that sort of.
Corporate yeah. Avengers.
Yeah, you know, against the corporations, the man.
That's right, yeah.
The business, the police, all that
yep.
stuff. And now it's, you know, Where do I get my nails done? It's
pretty much. You got it.
Or so are you going to go on TikTok and start doing videos?
No. My manager wants me to, but I don't know. I watch TikTok and I go, I love the things that make me laugh and stuff. And it's like, well, I guess it's like, oh, that's not me, you know? So I think what's more interesting probably for me is doing, of course, things that matter. And I'll probably, I use my platform, music videos. I do my Instagram and, you know, we do things like that. And, you know, and I want people to know that if, you know, if you do buy a song or buy my book, you know, I plant a tree for you and me. That's my give back, right?
Yeah. Were you planting a tree?
Well, I plant a tree with a company called One Tree Planted. And so it's neat because they can come and support me. They get their music and I go plant a tree for them, not physically, but with them. Yeah. So I buy trees. Well, I'm up to like 125 trees now.
Well, that's good, but it's a positive thing, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, things need to be more positive in a sense.
Yeah. You know? Well, and it's, you know, really, really goes with my theme about being in action.
Yeah.
And,
Well, did things seemed a little bit more fun in the 90s, didn't they? Or is that?
Yes. No, it was.
People were happier.
Yes.
It seemed like people were in a better mood. There's still things going on and still the fight, you know, and problems and racism and all sorts. There was still stuff going on. But it just seemed to be a happier time. I don't know.
Yeah. It was for me too. I loved it. I was doing hip hop and, you know, we were making fun, making money.
There's something different now. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. It's a different day.
You know. So what's coming up next for you? So you got, you going out on tour? Or are you doing some sort of thing coming up this year? What's the plans?
Yeah, we have, my manager submitted us for the Fringe Festival in Scotland, in Edinburgh, Scotland. So, fingers crossed on that. And then, after that, he wants to get us in a tour of Europe and that type of thing. So I think that's where we're heading right now. I'm trying to finish a bunch of music and, you know, get all my, business ducks in a row in the sense of like making sure the site's this and that. And I got QR codes for my merch and that stuff, you know, so people can buy things and, you know, support me in that way. Yeah. And then just get out there and express myself and tell stories and, you know, share my music.
Well, it'd be interesting. Okay, so let's talk about how people find you. You're going to give out your phone number or address or website. How do you want people to look for you? Like,
You know. Well, if you Googled my name, you'd find me everywhere. The best place to go would be to be my website, and it's Glenda, G-L-E-N-D-A, like the Good Witch, music.com. And that takes you right to my site and, you can purchase my new single, Walkin'. There's also, I think Lulu White's there. And then once you do that, it'll let me know that you purchased it. And then, I'll plant a tree for you and I'll let you know because I get your email. So I'll send it back. So there's that. You can also follow me on Instagram. It's Glenda Benavides, B-E-N-E-V-I-D-E-S, music. So Glenda Benavides Music, and then I'm on Facebook, of course, LinkedIn. My Courage book is on Amazon. I've got a YouTube channel, Glenda Benavides. So you can find me everywhere, and I'm out there. But it supports me the most if you go right to my site and buy things.
Right. Well, of course, we'll have everything up on ours so people can find you. Well, that's great. It's been really interesting. Conversation and all that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, just look forward to more. Hopefully it keeps going well. And you'll have to let us know when you're going to Scotland and that so we can call customs to make sure they know. We'll tell them you're carrying some drugs or something.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. Illegal food additives.
Yeah, yeah, she's got fruit in her bag. And they can't bring that over to Scotland. They don't allow fruit in the country.
I love it.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, thank you.
I'm here to help. You know.
That's I love
it's
it.
All about. There is nothing else better in the world than helping people. You know,
yes,
it's my favorite thing to do. Everyone knows that.
You know? Yes,
I'm known for that.
I love it,
Ellen. Helpful Warren.
He was so funny.
That's crazy. Well, you know, it's certainly been a great conversation, and hopefully everything goes well. We're all behind you, you know.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, David.
Yeah. So everyone, you know, get out there and plant a tree. Buy the song.
Yes.
It's really good. And, you know, pick up the book. Motivational. It'll make you change your life. I'm gonna buy one and send it to Dave.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. I'm going to get him out in the road.
Awesome. Love it.
Well, thank you, Glenda Benavides,
yes,
for being
thank
here.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. You're awesome.
Thanks, Glenda.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.